the letter of Romans, I'll be reading from chapter 4, verses 13 through 25, and I'll address God, and you stand as you please, man. Romans chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. For the promise to Abraham, or to his descendants, that he would inherit the world, was not through law, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. If those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made empty, and the promise nullified, because the law produces wrath, and where there is no law, there is no transgression. This is why the promise is by faith, so that it may be according to grace to guarantee it to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of Abraham's faith. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. He is our father in God's sight, in whom Abraham believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things into existence that do not exist. He believed, hoping against hope, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what had been spoken, so will your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body to be already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and also the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver in unbelief at God's promise, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, because he was fully convinced that what God had promised, he was also able to do. Therefore, it was credited to him for righteousness. Now, it was credited to him was not written for Abraham alone, but also for us. It will be credited to us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Thanks. Paul's been explaining the gospel to a group that he has not preached to before. He has been all through the Mediterranean area preaching the gospel, and he's planning on heading to Rome. He's wanting to go further west. He desires to preach the gospel to places that haven't heard it before. But on his way there, he wants to stop off in Rome, and he wants to encourage them and be encouraged by them. And he's laying out the gospel, the good news, to those that are in Rome. Many that are there have already had an encounter with Paul, and he mentions by name in the letter at least 26 different individuals. And he is addressing this letter to the believers in Rome. And he's laying out the truth of the gospel. But the gospel is not just the good news, because the good news doesn't make sense unless you understand the bad news. The bad news is we are all destined for hell under God's wrath because we are all sinners. We are all falling short of the glory of God, and we are facing God's wrath. But God has a way to fix that. And in chapter 4, we've looked at four different things, or we're going to look at four different things. We looked at two last week, and then we're going to look at two more, of how salvation is not and what it is. First, we learned that salvation is a gift from God. It's not something that God owes you. It's not something you work for. It's not like a paycheck. It is a gift. Now, and on my desk at work, there was a card yesterday, a belated birthday card, and had a little gift card in there. Now, I didn't do anything to earn that gift card, other than get another year older. But that gift card was on my desk. It's a nice card. It was something that I didn't deserve, that I didn't earn. That doesn't mean I'm not negotiable. I didn't use that gift card. I will take advantage of that gift card and utilize it. Well, God has given us a gift of forgiveness of our sins and eternal life in heaven. But we also learn that it's not by circumcision, not by our past, not by growing up in church, not by being in the right family. So it is a gift, but it's not by our heritage or by our keeping the sign of God's covenant. It's something different. And now we look at, it is not by the law. Look at what verse 13 says. For the promise to Abraham and his descendants that he would inherit the world was not through the law, but through the righteousness that comes through faith. Now, if the promise, it was given to Abraham many centuries before the law was given. 400 to 600 years before the law was given to Israel. And his promise came before there was a law. So it's not the law that brought the salvation, the righteousness to Abraham. It was his faith. It even says, where there is no law, there is no transgression. If Abraham had no law, he hadn't broken the law. He hadn't broken God's command, because he hadn't received any of God's commands. But he believed God through faith, and his faith was counted as righteousness. And his faith was a part of verse 16. This is why the promise is by faith, so it may be according to grace to guarantee it to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also those who are of Abraham's faith. Grace is tied right in there with faith. And what is grace? Grace is not something you say before a meal. Grace is receiving what you don't deserve. God has offered to us eternity in heaven with Him, a forgiveness of our sin, a new standing before God. It's like our bank account has suddenly been credited with the wealth of the world. There's nothing we can do to earn it, but it has been credited to us. That is the grace of God. When He credits righteousness to our account that we do not deserve. And righteousness that comes by faith is by the grace of God. So that not only those who have the law, the Jewish people, but also those who do not have the law, have access to God's grace and forgiveness. He, God, has provided a way for everyone to be saved. And the promise to Abraham, through him, through his seed, all of the world, all the nations will be blessed. Promising salvation to every one of us who are not of Jewish heritage. But also, promising salvation to those that are of Jewish heritage. It is by faith that we are saved. We saw salvation, the righteousness of God, is a gift. is not by our heritage, not by our works. It is by the faith. It's not by keeping the law, because the law was given after the promise. But it is God's promise that was given, and it's by the faith. Now, what kind of faith are we talking about? The faith that you have in a used car sale, when he tells you, trust me, this car is in perfect condition. You and I have a problem with it. Or is it the faith of a small child held high in his father's arms, and the child is giggling? Does he not say, dad might drop me? No, he knows he's safe in his father's arms. Sometimes even father's arms fail. But sometimes in the mornings, this shoulder right here gives me a little bit of trouble. You might see me in the car rider line, and I'm running my arm like this, trying to loosen it up, especially this cold morning. It's not just ice on the window, it's the precise shoulder. It doesn't work too good. But God's hands never have an end. God's shoulders never fail. He holds us up. And that child has the faith of his father. That's my brother. He can throw me up and catch me again. He'll catch me. Now, that's why Jesus said, you must have faith for a small child. Abraham had that kind of faith as a small child. Not the kind of faith of a used car salesman. We believe that not as far as we throw it. But no. The faith that he knew God and he knew everything. And faith, even with the facts facing Abraham, said the opposite of what God's promise was. God promised, you will have a child. The facts said, but I'm 100 years old, and my wife is 90 years old. There's no way we're going to have a child. No, that was not Abraham. Abraham's facing, all right, God's going to do something that hadn't been seen before. It's going to be great. I wonder how God's going to do it. He trusted God. Now there are a few thousand years later. Jesus was in a boat. Or actually, the disciples were in the boat, and Jesus was walking on the water. Peter says, Jesus, if it's you, command me to come out and walk to you. He said, come on. Peter started walking on the water. But then he looked around and saw the water, and his faith wavered. I shouldn't be able to walk on the water. And he said, that was not the kind of faith Abraham had. Peter did the right thing. He called out and Jesus saved him. Jesus reached out his hand, grabbed him, got him out of the boat, and said, Peter, you have little faith. Oh, you have little faith. Not the kind of faith that Abraham had. Telling a 100-year-old man he was about to have a child with his 90-year-old wife. Abraham gave glory to God. God could do it. God could take nothing and take everything. Look around you. Everything you see is a creation of God. The planet we live on, the air we breathe, the stars in the sky. Every time we put a more powerful telescope into service, we see further and further into space. God created it all. Every time we make a more powerful microscope and look smaller and smaller, God made all that detail. Without a telescope and without a microscope, Abraham gave glory to God. And God can do it. He can take nothing and make everything. He said, God can do it. He will keep his promise. That's the kind of faith that we have. And we also share in the promise made by God. Now, each one of us can make promises to other people. But we don't have the power to keep our promises. We might have all the intentions of our promises, but we can't forbid something from you. God, there is nothing that can prevent him from keeping his promise. Whose promise are you going to trust? God's promise or man's promise? Man says, I promise you there's no God. God says, I am. God keeps his promises. And Abraham believed God. And it was credited to him as righteousness. And then in verse 23, it said, now it was credited to him, was not written for Abraham alone, but also for us. The us, the Paul, those hearing Paul's letter read, and us right now reading this and studying this, right here in this church. It was, will be credited to us who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Jesus paid the price for our sin. That settled the wrath of God, we for justice. And his resurrection from the dead shows that the payment was accepted, that he is alive. And through Jesus' death and resurrection, we have guaranteed the promise of God. He says, your sins will be counted. If we have faith, do you have the faith of Abraham? Or are you doubting? Do you doubt God can do what he promised he said he would do? Abraham was told he would have a child. Said, all right. And he prayed glory to God. Not going, I wonder how this is going to happen. Not like the father of John the Baptist, when he was told by the angel of the Lord, by Gabriel, that he was going to have a child. Said, I'm too old. How can that be? He doubted. But then he said, you're not going to be able to talk to the baby boy. Now, Abraham did that. He immediately believed God. God said it. That says it. There used to be a bumper sticker that was very popular. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. It doesn't matter to me. God said it, that settles it. That's the truth. He's resting on it. You believe the world around us is acting like they're the only solution to the problems. And maybe there's no tomorrow. Maybe nothing after death. God says there is. It is destined for man to die with us. And after that, to face the judgment. Are you ready to face God? Sins will be forgiven. remember to share with others that joy. Lord, thank you for your promise. You always keep your promise. And you have provided a way for us to be with you forever. For our sins to be forgiven that we don't deserve. But your grace poured out on us, covered our sins with your blood, and you rose from the dead to prove your promises to you. Let us rest comfortably, knowing that our future is secure in your hands, and no weather, no comment from any individual, no event that happens in the world can change that. Because your promise is not dependent on what happens in the world. Your promise depends on who you are.